Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and this is called Dedication Homes. And Tommy's sitting over there. And what's on the show this week, sir?
We got a lot of good stuff. We'll try to squeeze it into the next hour. We've got resolution to the Telltale Walking Dead saga, which is exciting.
Nice!
Yeah, we'll talk about that. It's at least somewhat a happy ending. So we'll get into that. We've got some Nintendo news, including potentially a new Switch coming next year. Also, there's possibly a Harry Potter game, which looks pretty sick. And we're going to talk about Project Stream some more. So, and there's a bunch of other show notes that we're not going to get to. GamingUncensored.com to see those, because, lots to talk about today.
It's going to be a good show, and I say that we're dedicated because I literally rolled into my house like 10 minutes ago. I had enough time to pee and wash my hands, and we're on the air.
I'm glad you specified the washing your hands in there.
Yes, I did, because you got to do that.
That's fair.
We're here, and I'm glad to be here. I should be at your house.
Yes.
But I'm not.
Yeah.
And I'm depressed about that, but that's still happening.
Yes.
We just moved it.
This was the original road trip weekend, and we postponed for an exciting reason. We've got some exciting family stuff happening tomorrow, which y'all will see soon, which will be super cool, and I'm pumped about. But with that, had to put a little delay on the trip, but we're still planning it, and it'll be awesome. We're going to play Spider-Man when you come. And so now Spider-Man's kind of eating at me because I'm ready for it.
We got rooms. We're all set. Still got to get a lift. But that is happening mid-November. Very, very, very excited about that.
Yes.
Very, very, very excited to see that little girl.
Yes.
She's not so little anymore. I'm telling you, it's driving me crazy.
This has happened since last we did a show, because it's been a little over a week, just weird week this week, so we're a little behind. But in that little over a week, she crawls now. She crawls.
Yeah, goodbye to your life, sir. Yeah.
It's brutal. She's just like, yep, I'm going. And so she crawls and she pulls up. And so, like, she's actually not really into the crawling thing. She only utilizes it as a way to get something to something that she can then stand up using. And then she just stands around. Like, she just pulls herself up and she just stands there for like half an hour. She'll be happy as can be, just standing, like, looking around, banging on things. But as long as she's standing, she's pretty happy.
Boy, I wish I could be happy when I stood. like I stood this week and I had to take a whole lot of drugs to be able to do it. Because the weather is changing and my body says no. So I took a whole lot of drugs to be able to do that.
That's such a wonderfully old man thing. Like, the weather is changing, and so I was achier than usual.
Hey, you laugh at me, man, but it's coming. If you're not already feeling it, it's coming for you.
We're not getting any younger. That's the truth. So.
We have got a lot to talk about, so let's get into it.
Let's do really quick before we jump into all the fun stuff. Let me mention Patreon supporters: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, and Zeke. Thank you guys for your support as always. If you're interested in contributing to the Patreon, go by gaminguncensored.com, and it's right there near the top of the page, right hand side. Click on that Patreon link.
Duff, my man. I'm sorry I doubted you. I know you heard me. I know you did. I know you heard what I said. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
So our boy Duff, after hearing the past couple of shows, gave us a couple of games. And one is, I think, to teach us a lesson. The other one I'm pretty legit excited about. So one of what we talked about, Creed, on the last show, the VR boxing game. I haven't got a chance to try to fire that one up yet, but I'm pretty pumped about that. I think we'll both have a lot of fun with that one. The other one, yeah. This is how I'm gonna tempt people to go give us some money on Patreon, though. So I'm spinning this to try to make it work. We mentioned a couple of shows ago in the new releases section right at the end of the show about a ridiculous looking game called Super Seducer 2, to which we had many questions. And so Duff decided to try to help us answer those questions and gifted us a copy of Super Seducer 2, which I have played some of, about as much as I could bear of it, honestly. It's something, and I will have content over on the Patreon soon to tell you about it, because it's something.
Which reminds me, would you do me a favor and log into the show account and accept the Batman that I bought with Patreon money?
Oh, yeah.
I have not done that, but that needs to be done. I think it will come back to me if it's not done by like the 15th. So
fair enough.
But I did not know that, but there's like that Steam has like a time limit.
That's
like
interesting.
If you don't accept the gift, it's like, okay, we give it back to you.
I did not know that either. So yeah. Good for them. So anyway, go by Patreon and see stuff about Super Seducer 2 soon if you want. Anyway.
It sounds really awkward.
It is incredibly awkward. We'll talk about it on the show down the road, but I want to leave it out there as a little tease for now, and because we have so much other stuff to talk about. And so a few gaming notes. I'll mention, so I've been playing a few things, played a little bit of Super Seducer 2, but I've been playing some things that are actually pretty good. So finish God of War finally, which is
great
news. And so quite happy about that, even though I want to go back and still explore. There's a whole realm I haven't even been to yet still, and so I want to go back and do that. But I don't feel as guilty of moving on to other things, and so happy about that as well. But just really quickly, just a fantastic game. We've said it a million times. Just ridiculous.
It is like my only complaint is, and it's not about God of War, because a lot of games do this. We got to the end and it's like, okay, yeah, you're done. They did put a couple of cliffhangers in there that was like, holy crap!
Yeah.
So you know they're doing another game.
Yep.
You know Atreus is probably getting his own game. Which, can we talk about that for a second, please?
So I don't have the spoiler alert stuff keyed up, but yes. Spoiler alert. We're going to spoil some God of War for you. So if you haven't played through it yet, we're way behind. And so I'm assuming everybody has. But just in case, fast forward a little bit. Because, let's spoil it really quickly. So go ahead.
So I don't even know where to go, because you get to the end of the game and there's the wall panels, and it basically shows their entire journey, and Atreus is like, look, Dad, it's our journey, and Kratos is like, no, dude, it's your journey, because it's all about Atreus. And you walk along there and you find out that Atreus is not the kid's given name. Apparently, his mother was a giant, And in her giant type world, the kid's name is Loki.
Yeah.
Which
I was not expecting that.
Like I've lost my crap. Like I lost it. He's like, my name's Loki? And I went, what? Like, I lost my, like, I'm trying to figure out, is he, like, Thor's younger brother? Like, how are we doing this with the Marvel stuff?
Yeah.
And so, apparently, he's the trickster. I don't know how they did that. I don't get it, but it freaked me out, and I really hope he gets his own game.
I do too. And then that already was cool. The end itself, like the kind of conclusion of the journey was pretty like not exciting. Yeah. It just was kind of like, and done. But then if you go back to the to their house, there's a little clip with Thor, which is also like, oh,
I didn't see that. I gotta go watch that.
Yeah, it should be. I'm pretty sure I hit record on that. And so yeah, that's there too. But it's just like they go in, like they go to bed, you know, like they go home and they're like, oh, rest finally or whatever. And then it's like it says like several years in the future, but they're the same age. I don't understand it at all, but whatever. There's some noise and they go and open the door, and there's this big menacing dude with like this hood on. You can't see anything about him, but he's just massive. And it's like, who is that? And then you just see the hammer, and it's like, then it goes to credits, you know? And it's like, oh, you know, like, wait, that's a thread I want to pull on. I want to see what happens down that road. So, yeah, more God of War is definitely coming. And I'm pumped about that because it's going to be awesome.
And thank you, Marvel, for getting us into the lore, because let's face it, I love Sony, but it's Marvel's fault that we have gotten to know these people and kind of know what the deal is now. And
But they're also, I mean, Loki and Thor and all these are also part of Norse mythology, and so there's that, like, which way is God of War going with it, and... like, I have no idea how they're going to spin this thing. Like, what the relationship between Atreus and Thor is or whatever. You know, like, I don't get it, but I'm excited to see how they play with it. They take a lot of liberties anyway, obviously, with the kind of mythos of Greek and now North mythology.
Well,
but I'm into it. I don't care. I just want more.
The other thing that's interesting is, you know, the way the game ended, you know that Freya will be back.
Yeah.
Because the head basically says, just give her a minute, she'll be okay.
Yeah.
I think she's going to end up being the Kratos love interest. So my question is, do we get a God of War 5, obviously, and then does Atreus get, like, a side game?
Right.
Well, like, I don't know how they're going to do that, because I think they're going to get another game out of Kratos.
Yeah, I think so, too. And you can't really, like, you can't do the buddy game again, I don't think. Like, you gotta split them off somehow. It would feel weird if it, like... if you like played half and half, said, oh, yeah, it's hard to imagine like a game with the title God of War that you don't play as Kratos, you know? And so whatever that spinoff is, which I agree, I think they're likely looking that direction. I feel like it's going to be something else, you know, like it's not going to be God of War. It's going to be whatever, Loki of War or whatever. but yeah, it's ripe for more content, and they left it open for a lot more content. I don't know if it's a fear, but I had a thought in the back of my mind that they were going to like in that game, like in this really nice tight little bow of like, here's this just one standalone experience. This was kind of our God of War opus, you know, and then they're done. No, it's wide open for lots more stuff to happen.
And I kind of see like maybe a Horizon thing happening where you have the original game, and then 6 months later, you get the quote-unquote expansion,
yeah,
which is going to add basically continue the story.
Yeah.
And you just keep working from there, because I think that's, what's the name of the Horizon expansion?
Frozen something.
Yeah. I think it's going to be similar.
Or like what Uncharted did, or what Dishonored did, like this kind of standalone expansion thing is pretty popular now. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
It might be something that we're getting teased for E3 or something. I don't know.
But man, it was good.
Man, it was good. So, after that, I was like, hey, I need to pick up a game to play. And so I picked up Assassin's Creed Origins, because I've had that sitting in my Steam library for, I think, since the summer. I think it came on sale in the summer. Everybody's talked about how great it is. And so finally I was like, okay, I need to pick it up. Odyssey is out, and I'm hoping to get in on this Project Stream thing. Even if I don't, I'm going to play Odyssey at some point, so I should probably play Origin to get into it. And so I picked it up, playing it on the PC, and got really into it pretty quickly. It took me a bit to get into it, but once I got into it, like it hooked me, and I actually really, really dig it. Like, it's great. Like, it's a redefining of Assassin's Creed, kind of in the same way that God of War was a redefining of the God of War franchise. Like, it's familiar enough that you know it, but it's highly upgraded. It just feels so much better in so many ways. And so I've been playing that for the better part of since we last did a show, and had a little bit of time. I still haven't played a ton of games, but a little bit more time this past week than I typically have, and so I've gotten to put some time into that, and I'm actually playing it mostly mouse and keyboard, which is weird. I played it with a controller, but one of the benefits of playing it on the PC is I can multitask, and so I'm working, and so I'm going kind of back and forth between a game and working, and so it's just easier to transition back and forth using mouse and keyboard, and I've actually learned to play it via mouse and keyboard pretty well, which is not a mouse and keyboard kind of game, but I've gotten pretty good at it on mouse. The combat's not great on mouse and keyboard, but combat's not great in Assassin's Creed anyway. But everything else, like doing bow and arrow stuff, works great with a mouse. Like, I love it. And so, like, I've really gotten into playing Assassin's Creed, of all things, with a mouse and keyboard. But anyway, so I've been playing that and really digging it, and then 2 days ago, I got the email from Google that I got in on Project Stream, which I was not really expecting, and so was then able to fire up Assassin's Creed Odyssey and have played that some through Project Stream and all that, which is cool. And so we'll talk about the game and we'll talk about Project Stream just really quickly, the kind of details on how it works. So it's free, and I don't know if they're still taking signups. The story from last week's show notes still has the website in there that you can go sign up at, so you might as well try. I don't know. Maybe they still want more people. But it's free to play until January, and then they cut you off. And so it said something about saves. I don't know if there's a way to transfer. It does use your Ubi account, and so I think it's like there's a cloud save, so if you pick it up on a different platform or whatever, I think your saves will transfer maybe. I don't remember. But after January something, January 15th or something like that, it's going to cut you off. The service is going to shut down. So now I've got to play the game through before January 15th, or I've got to actually go buy it. But at this point, it's free, and they actually give you $10 worth of like in-game currency to buy like extra stuff. So like you've actually got like $10 worth of like go buy some extra armor or weapons or resources or whatever. So it's really the $60 game that you can play for free plus $10 more to experiment around with stuff, which is kind of a killer thing. Like, it's a AAA title that just came out a week ago, and Google's letting me play it for free. And it just blows my mind.
Now, a couple of things. I would have said, until I saw what I saw today, I would have said, yeah, that's great. You know, all of that, that's wonderful. It's great to get people in there. But how does it play? And then, like, I'm sitting at work because it's a slow day at work because it's rainy and cloudy and stuff here. And so I'm sitting at work and I'm trying to find something to keep myself from falling asleep because I'm old and I have that thing at like 2 o'clock every day where my body just goes, nap time. Yeah. And so I'm on Facebook And one of our guys on Facebook had gotten into it. This is before you texted me and said, yo, I got into it. And so I'm reading what he had to say. And, like, based on everything that you just said that they gave you, plus what he said about how well the service actually works, that's a steal.
It is. It's crazy. And then, again, they're obviously doing it to stress test the service and get feedback and all that kind of stuff. And so there's value to it for them. But, man, it's a no-brainer for me because it's working so well. And I have this wonderful reference point that I didn't plan it out this way, but then it kind of worked out brilliantly in that I've spent the past week playing Assassin's Creed Origins on my PC. And then I get into this, and so it's the next game in the series on my PC. And so I'm having essentially the exact same gameplay experience between them. And so it makes it incredibly easy to compare the experiences, right? Like, outside of playing Odyssey on my PC and then playing Odyssey through Project Stream, there's no better way to compare, you know, the local, completely based on my system play style versus the completely streamed from Google servers play style. And so it gives me this great reference point to go, oh, yeah, here's what's working really well about it. Here's what's not necessarily maybe working as well about it or whatever. And so I'll get into a couple of those details and we can talk about the game, too, because the game's fantastic. Graham's great. So a little bit of a note here. I'm playing on a gigabit internet connection. That helps, I would imagine. And so I'm hardwired on a gigabit connection. And so that's a good place to start. But I've played other games that are streaming on my gigabit connection that don't work well. And so
here's what's mind-blowing to me. I believe Samuel is the guy that posted on Facebook. What blew my mind is he's raving about how well it worked, and he's on a 50 meg connection, which is like, that's like not even a tenth of what you have.
Right.
And he says it works flawlessly, basically.
Yeah.
And Samuel, you're right. I'm screaming, send us a freaking segment, man. I got to have a segment. I got to hear about this. The guys were trolling me on Facebook today because I guess they realized I was paying attention. And somebody said, I can hear him screaming, send us a segment. That's right. Send us a freaking segment.
Absolutely.
We need a segment.
It does, before you fire it up, it does like a test to see what your internet speed is. It doesn't tell you what it is. It's just like, we did a test your connection, and it says you're good to go. And so I imagine if your internet's not up to snuff, it'll say, hey, you're probably going to have a bad experience or something like that. But their recommendation is at least 25 megs down. And so that's still, like, that's not crazy, you know?
Well,
like,
I mean that's 5 megs short of what I've got, but I've almost got that.
Right.
And my internet,
middle of nowhere.
My internet's not great. I have a 20 meg connection, so.
Yeah. So, it is what it is as far as what your internet is, but it, outside of that, like, it's streaming the game, and I'm super skeptical of that. I was super excited to get the invite and to fire it up and to play around with it a little bit, but I'm also going in quite skeptical and thinking, hey, I'm going to get to be able to put like an hour into this and feel it out and figure out, you know, what works and what doesn't work, and then I'll go back to Origins. I don't think I'm going back to Origins. Like, I got like 20 levels into Origins, maybe, and that was great. And I want to go back and finish it because I'm actually really into the story on it. But I've got the new and better one now, you know, and it works almost exactly the same. Like, I am hard pressed while I'm playing it to notice that it's not running local on my system. Again, having the reference point of just playing Origins on my system, it plays almost identical. In fact, I'm frustrated because they changed a few of the key bindings. And so, like, on Origin, you use Alt to do all the kind of climbing and parkour kind of stuff. On Odyssey, you use Shift to do that, which is smarter to have it on Shift. That makes more sense. But it just took me adjusting to that or whatever. And it's those things that annoy me. Nothing about the way the game's presented, nothing about the lag, nothing about the latency. It's those little key binding things that I keep getting caught up on, because everything else when I'm playing it feels like it's running locally on my system. There have been a few times that the video degrades just a bit, and I think one of the things I've been trying to watch is like what happens when it degrades, and it's so rare it's hard to really get a good sense of it. But to me, it feels like it kind of prioritizes different processing, and so like draw distance kind of gets a little fuzzy when I can feel that maybe the connection's lagging a little bit or something like that. But like the detail stuff stays solid the whole time. And for the most part, I mean, it's running at high def. It's running at a high frame rate. Like, I don't feel any drop frames or anything like that. But the biggest thing is really the latency, that it just is almost nothing. I can feel it just a hair, like especially in menus and that kind of thing, where I can kind of watch the mouse tracking and I can like move fast and see how the mouse just doesn't quite keep up, you know. But in the actual gameplay, combat, like Assassin's Creed, I play with a lot of like bow and arrow stuff. Like, I really like doing the kind of sniping thing, and it works great. The combat, like, it works on a parry system, kind of like God of War, where if you block at the right time, it throws the enemy back and you can open them up for attack. And so that's obviously highly timing based, and I can nail it just about every time. Like, the lag component of it is almost non-existent. I have no idea how they pulled that off, but it feels so smooth. There's games that I bet it won't, and I'm sure they optimize this every bit for this purpose. But it works. It just works, and I'm blown away by it. I'm just stunned by how well it works.
Okay, a couple of things that I want to talk about on the skeptical side of things.
Yes.
Samuel said, and this is what blew my mind, and he actually posted a picture on Facebook, that he is playing the game on a Microsoft Surface Pro, which we despise the Surface Pros at work, because they're like, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but they're built similarly to the new MacBooks. And the new MacBooks, you know, everything's soldered on. They're impossible to work on. That's kind of the same deal with the Surface Pros. And we hate them. But when he posted and said, hey, I'm playing this on a Surface Pro with a gamepad, and you know, it's working great on a 15-meg connection with other people streaming, that's what blew my mind. And then I was talking to you, and you said, I'm playing it on my rig, and it looks great. And I thought, well, it's supposed to look great on your, you know, $1,200 rig or whatever it was that we spent on that I can't remember. But you said something that is interesting to me, that I was, based on what he said, was not expecting. You said it didn't run nearly as well on your laptop.
Yeah, so it runs all out of Chrome. And so, I mean, it's just in browser, which is, again, something that just boggles my mind. But there it is. And so I always have a lot of tabs open in Chrome. So right. Just for reference right now, I'll try to estimate quickly off of – this is off my PC, which I'm Steam linked to do show notes off of it. I have – 6 different windows open, and each one of them probably has between 5 and 10 different tabs open. And so I'm probably 40 or 50 tabs deep right now. On my PC, I can run the game flawlessly with all those tabs open, which, again, boggles my mind. On my laptop, it didn't do that. And I haven't played with it much on my laptop. I didn't try closing everything down and just running it on its own. I'm not sure if the issues that I ran into on my laptop were because of connection, because then it was Wi-Fi and hardwired on my laptop, or if it was more system things. I feel like it was more system things. But to be honest, my last laptop's on its last legs. Like, it's struggling. And so at this point, every time we do a show, because I record the show on the laptop, I'm just praying that it doesn't crash in the middle of the show. And so far, knock on wood, it hasn't. But my laptop's on its last legs. It's just old and worn down. And so I could play with it more on my laptop and kind of troubleshoot it out and see what was the issue. The issues I was having was video quality just fell apart. Like, it just got really, really low res. And so it's like watching a YouTube video when it's not keeping up and it auto-corrects down to the lowest resolution. Everything gets real stupid, fuzzy, whatever. And so it did that to me, and that wasn't fun. But I think that's much more a product of my computer than it is of their service. And I totally buy that it runs just fine, even on like a Surface Pro or whatever. That's just where my computer's at this point. But I will say, when I played it on my computer, because I didn't want to play it mouse and keyboard on my computer because I just have the trackpad on the computer, I plugged in the Xbox 360 controller and it immediately recognized it in game. Like, I didn't have to do anything. I'm trying to remember if I've ever used an Xbox controller on my laptop. I don't think I have. I just plugged it in USB and Chrome recognized it. The game recognized it. It just jumped right in. I didn't have to do a single thing, which was awesome. That was really, really great. So outside of that, I did have some performance issues there. And so it won't run on anything. There's going to be a baseline. But it doesn't take much. It's not eating up my system resources on my PC to run it either. I mean, it's very lightweight. The tech is awfully impressive.
That's very, very cool because, and we haven't said this in a while, because we've become adults and it's not as bad as it used to be, but I am sitting across from maybe the cheapest man I've ever met. and if this works, and if other games work this well, I could see him playing games this way, paying for a monthly type service, and playing a lot of games this way. I don't see myself doing that.
Yeah.
But you know, that's where everybody wants to go.
Yeah.
And especially for you, I see this, if it continues to work this well, I see it being a viable option.
1,000%. If I could play about any game, again, it's a AAA title. It's a high end processor intensive game. It's gorgeous. It is such a pretty game. It runs incredibly well. If everything else ran at that level, with the amount and latency and everything else, yeah, I would pay a monthly subscription for that. 100%. I wouldn't even bat an eye at it, and would love it because then I wouldn't have to worry about hardware nearly as much, because it's all handled for it. You gotta have something to run it on, but it doesn't have to be a big massive rig by any means. So my crazy prediction at this point, this is the first time I've ever said, oh goodness, we're close, like there's a proof of concept that actually works. Like, this isn't On Live, this isn't Gaikai or whatever, you know, all these different services that have existed. This is it. Like, this is accomplished. And part of it's I've got blazing fast internet. That helps, obviously. But more and more people are getting pretty fast internet. Samuel has 50 meg connection and said he had very, very little issues with video as well. One or two times dropout, I think he said, or something like that. So it's not for everybody yet, but it's getting a lot closer. So I would say we've already heard the rumors about Microsoft's next console cycle is going to be like the pure hardware based box, and then the kind of hybrid hardware / stream box. I can see both Microsoft and Sony doing that for this next generation, and that being the last generation of consoles. That after that, it's really just streaming, and it may be that hybrid stream box that you pay $100 for. That gives you a few little onboard, you know, processing things that help with things like latency or whatever, that they can always say, this is why it's beneficial to pay this $100 or $50. But it becomes a Chromecast or an Amazon Fire Stick kind of thing, you know, instead of a $400 or $500 console when the thing launches. I think that's probably where the future of console gaming is going. I think the future of PC gaming may get there even quicker. If Google's going to follow up on this, this could be in the next year that we're seeing a lot of AAA titles released this way.
Well, and I'm not going to say that we're there yet, because we're talking about one title
right.
that was heavily optimized. You know they did. Like Google is not going to, even for a beta test,
yep.
it's not going to put something out that looks like crap. So I'm not going to say we're close yet because it's one title, but give me 40 titles or so that work as well as this works, and I'll say that we're there.
Well, I mean, by the time we have 40 titles, we're by definition there, you know, point.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like you got Assassin's Creed, whatever the next Far Cry is, whatever the next insert heavy title here.
Yes.
That just requires an upgrade in whatever you want to do. I feel like I'm kicking myself because I have played around a little bit with some stock investing. You know this, something I kind of enjoyed, something that I'm learning to do. And when I started, NVIDIA stock was $40 a share. And I really wish I had spent $1,000 and gotten some NVIDIA stock. Because right now, NVIDIA stock is like $300 a share. and so the key, the way I'm going to wrap this up is to say it's cool that Google's into it. It's cool that they're the ones that are stepping out there. But if Google is into it and NVIDIA is into it, it's over. Like, if NVIDIA gets behind it and says, this is what we're going to do, and they optimize their tech so that it works well with this stuff, this is where we're going. Yeah. I really believe that.
There's a whole other conversation there around hardware and what this means to hardware companies like NVIDIA. But it's the future. And we've been saying it's the future for a long time. It just, like, now the future feels closer than it did, for sure.
Right.
I'm going to be playing it more. I'm planning to play all the way through this game in this way because it's free and I'm cheap. Like you said, they gave me an awesome AAA title for free. A fantastic game. You mentioned Far Cry there just a second ago. Origins and Odyssey feel very similar to each other to me so far, which is not a bad thing. Again, I think Origins pretty brilliant. But one of the things that both of them have is a Far Cry kind of element to them of bases and eradicating the bases with the Assassin's Creed kind of sneaking and assassination mechanics. And so it's just a blast. I'm just loving it. The story's fine. I was really getting into the origin story. I'm only four levels into Odyssey so far, but I've already got to do Spartan Kick. Like, that's the very beginning of the game, you get to play as like a Spartan during this big battle scene before you actually jump into like your character. And so with that, you have the Spartan Kick ability. And so I'm just running around Spartan kicking people the whole time. And then that was the very first ability. The first time I leveled up, I was like, yeah, I don't care about like the warrior path. Like, that's not really my play style, but I'm getting Spartan Kick. And so that was the very first thing I got. So Spartan Kick is awesome.
you know, Kratos is like shaking his head somewhere going, you idiots. You just run around kicking sheep.
It's like so fun.
It's almost like kicking like chickens in Zelda.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the Odyssey, the one thing it has going for it over Origins. So far, Origins cool because it's Egypt and you don't have a lot of ancient Egypt games. But like ancient Egypt's a desert. And so a lot of the landscape is really pretty boring because it's just a bunch of sand dunes. Odyssey is gorgeous. It's these islands that are lush and these villages. And it feels like there's more people in it, like there's a heavier density of the world. Like, the world just feels great already, and again, just barely scratched the surface on it. So we'll talk about it more, I promise, because that's going to get a lot of my attention over the next several weeks, as will Red Dead soon and all kinds of things. There's just too many games, man.
We're gonna come back to that whole discussion at the end of the show, because I want to talk about a poll that was posted on Facebook by our boy Cabbage, about Red Dead. We'll come back to that in a bit.
Yeah. Getting into some news things, like I said, go by the show notes, gamingandcensored.com, because we only got 20 minutes left, so we're definitely not getting through everything, but quickly getting through a few news things. The Walking Dead Telltale series has a resolution, and it feels like a good resolution. Probably, like, if I had to, like, map out the best resolution, this feels like it would be it. So the Walking Dead, the final season, has been picked up by Skybound Games, which...
that makes sense.
Right? May recognize, because it's Robert Kirkman's studio. And so, obviously, that's a good place for it to land. And so so they're going to finish it off, release the final episodes of it, and are bringing in as much of the team as they can to finish it off as well from Telltale, which is also a good part of this story. Those people who deserve to at least finish out this game, and hopefully continue to get a paycheck for a little while longer.
Well, I honestly don't think it's going to be for a little while longer, because I've been watching Kirkland for about 10 years, and the interesting thing about Robert Kirkman, he's very much a Kevin Smith kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if anybody's really aware, but all of the stuff that AMC has, like the Talking Dead series that comes on after each episode with Chris Hardwick, which I don't watch it. Like, I watch a couple minutes here and there, but that is Kirkland. Yeah. Everything Walking Dead on AMC, I didn't realize it, but they had Kirkman on The Talking Dead one night, and they were talking to him about it, and I just happened to be watching it, and Hardwick, I don't know if he realized where he was or what was going on, but he just offhandedly said, "Well, I work for you, so if you say this is what's going to happen, then so be it." And that's when it occurred to me that Kirkman owns all of that.
Yeah.
And so if this is what's happening and Skybound is taking over, I think those guys are going to have a job for a while.
I hope so.
I think there's going to be more games.
Yeah, I would love for them to extend it or do something else in the same style or whatever. That would be great. Hey, Skybound, keep The Wolf Among Us going too, if you don't mind.
Yes,
I mean, obviously Kirkman's a comics guy, so it seems to make sense. So, there's this one quote I have to mention, because he made this announcement at the New York Comic Con on Saturday night. He said, quote, "We can't lose Andrew Lincoln and Clementine in the same year," which is wonderful. So knowing the fact that Rick is leaving the TV show, trying to not have Clementine left out there in the cold too, made me happy. So that's a good end to that story, and means that we're actually going to get to finish that series out, which makes me very
yes.
happy. Moving on to a couple other things. Sorry, I got something caught in my throat there. the Switch, there's a rumor that the Switch is going to get a new SKU next year that is going to have a better screen and probably some other features that we don't know anything about yet. But this seems on, like, brand for Nintendo, that there'll be the Switch Slim or whatever, and we'll probably get a new SKU about every year with some little thing here or there, as they've done with all kinds of other handhelds in the past. So,
well, here's the thing on this that's different. The thing that's different on this is that I can see us buying whatever it is. Like if they come out with a new Switch, they have done so well with the Switch as is. If they give us a reason to buy another one, I mean, we're not like Chad or anything, but but like, if they give us a reason for buying another one, we'll probably buy another one. Would you not say that? Because I feel the same way. I feel like that's something we would do.
Yeah, I definitely would be tempted, depending on what features they are. Having a better screen would be nice because I play the Switch a lot as a handheld console. And so the screen's not bad by any means. It's a perfectly fine screen, so I don't need it. But that would be nice. But one feature, if you're listening, Nintendo, this is fairly minor, but I would love, is Bluetooth. Because currently it doesn't have Bluetooth, and so I can't pair like Bluetooth earbuds to it. And I use Bluetooth earbuds all the time. That would be really nice. That would be a really nice feature, Nintendo. Give me Bluetooth on the Switch. So, and maybe make it a bit more ergonomic. The Joy-Cons be a little bit more comfortable when in the handheld mode. It could work a little better. But yeah, if they make some decent little upgrades, yeah, I could definitely see us going out and picking up an updated copy. That's great. So. A couple other Nintendo stories I'm going to skip over. GameAgainstCensored.com for the show notes so you can see those other Nintendo things. Because I want to make sure we talk about this. This is a bit dated. This dropped just right after we did our last show, and so we missed talking about it on the last show. And so I've heard it everywhere since last we did a show. So if you listen to other podcasts, you probably heard this already a ton of times, but I don't care. Because we need to talk about it. And that's the apparent Harry Potter RPG that exists and is like decently far along, according to this leaked video that was all over the internet for a few days. So the background here is that there's this Harry Potter RPG that somebody got a hold of footage and put it online that looks like a legit game. Like it looks like it's a deep RPG with this little bit of gameplay that we've saw from it. But whoever leaked it, this was all off of Reddit, as things like this often are, also had like a bunch of details about it, including that you play as a fifth year student at Hogwarts. You get to completely customize your character. There's no actual Harry Potter in this game. Like it's a whole different class of students and all that kind of stuff, but you get to play as a student at Hogwarts and go through the world of Hogwarts of classes and all that kind of stuff, but also with, you know, a game that goes around that with a story and possibility of like a light path and a dark path depending on how you approach the game, and it feels very like an Elder Scrolls ish or a Knights of the Old Republic ish take on Harry Potter to me, and that sounds amazing.
Well, okay, I don't know that I've ever mentioned this on the show. I'm almost 40 years old, and I only read the Harry Potter series like 7 or 8 years ago. Like, I picked up the first book from the library. My library has downloadable audiobooks like on the web.
Yeah.
And the first book became available and I listened to it and totally fell in love. I'm a huge Harry Potter head. I love the world. I love everything about it. I have not seen Fantastic Beasts. I have not seen the movies. I'm all about the books. And if they will stick to that, I'm all in because I love me some Harry Potter.
Yeah, I agree 100%. One of the things I'm most excited about with little girl as she's getting a little older is at some point we get to start reading Harry Potter, and that's going to be a blast because it's been now. I think I was in college when I read the last Harry Potter book, and so that's been quite a while. Because
that's what I was about to say. I was in my 30s, like literally less than 10 years ago. I read all these books.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But they're fantastic, and yeah, the world's so ripe for this. It just like, it feels like it's an untapped thing in the gaming industry that I hadn't really, like, there's Harry Potter games that exist, and there's like Lego Harry Potter, but none of them have really ever been serious. You know, they've been like licensed games based off of the movies or whatever, but like, this feels to me, I mentioned Knights before, it feels like a Knights of the Old Republic kind of approach to Harry Potter, and Knights of the Old Republic changed Star Wars video games completely because it took a completely different approach. It wasn't trying to tell you Luke's story or Han Solo's story. It was telling you a completely new story. And I think that's the trick for making the Harry Potter world work. Now, the flaw is Harry Potter's right there in the name of it. And so, like, if they call the game, like, Hogwarts something or whatever, if you could get away from Harry Potter being in the name so that it's not just about, you know, that character. I think that's going to be one of the challenges for this. But for me, for you, for us guys in our 30s that like Harry Potter, you know, like, that's an interesting dynamic. But there's a bunch of us. Like, I would dare say that most people listening to the show, probably dudes in their 20s and 30s, probably also like Harry Potter.
I feel like such a loser admitting that, but I don't like that they are... they're just so good, and if J.K. Rowling ever decides to write another one, like, I'll be out. Like, first, like, where can I find it on Audible? Like, is it there? Cause I'll buy it. You tell me it's $60, I'll pay it. I don't even care. Like, it's that good. And I never thought it would be that way. It's one that I stumbled onto that I just totally fell in love with.
Yeah. The world is just so good. And that's why, like, the characters are good too. Obviously, that makes a big difference for Harry Potter. But the world is so good. It's just a fun world. And so being able to explore Hogwarts, being able to explore Daikon Alley, you know, like, that kind of stuff feels like it could make for a really, really engaging video game experience. So I'm hoping it, like, Warner Brothers very quickly sent cease and desist, like, every time that video popped up somewhere online. And so for a little bit, there was a rumor that it was Rocksteady that was developing it, because Rocksteady's working on a game. We all know this. And Harry Potter's a Warner Brothers property, I guess, or whatever. And so is Rocksteady. And so... But apparently not. Rocksteady came out and said they're not doing it. So they're still like, where did this come from? It looks way too good, but nobody's claiming it. It's crazy. But whatever it is, hopefully it happens. Hopefully we see more of it soon. So quickly, I'll mention a few other things. We'll do releases, which are like nothing. But there is now also, speaking of games that are coming soon, there's a lot of Fallout 76 content that's starting to trickle out. People are getting hands-on with Fallout 76. And so if you had questions about Fallout 76, there's lots of ways to get answers about Fallout 76. I'm going to pick just a part from the Engadget hands-on, because I think this one probably speaks to us the most. I've read a couple of people, watched a couple of YouTube videos of people who really loved it and saw some that didn't like it nearly as much. But this one, I think, is what's going to ultimately tell us that this is probably not for us. And so it starts, and I would encourage you to go by the show notes to read this whole thing, because it's a good kind of hands-on overview. But it starts by saying, I really wanted to find the Mothman, which is one of the characters, one of the enemies, like boss fights that you can do in Fallout 76. She says, this is Jessica Condit who wrote this, I really wanted to find the Mothman. And then it talks about how she played this with three other people, one of which is a guy from Bethesda, and talking through all this stuff. Says she spent 3 hours playing through this small sliver of the Fallout 76 map. And then says, but now the Mothman is haunting me after playing through it for 3 hours and not finding the Mothman. She says, I wish I'd broken away from the group and played my own game, investigating the weirdest parts of the map rather than sticking to the main drag. I'd wish I'd played Fallout 76 like I've played the previous Fallout games solo. And that's kind of the kicker. And basically goes on to say, I think I would be more into this if it was if it was Fallout 5. And they're under no... illusions that it's not Fallout 5. She actually quotes this guy who is the design director, Emil something. I'm not even going to try to say his name, but his quote was, I think a lot about the players who want Fallout 5, and this isn't Fallout 5. He continues, are they going to be happy? Are they going to still enjoy playing this game, even though it's like, I actually think we've pushed a lot closer to a much more Fallout 5-ish single-player friendly game, but it's still not. I worry about that. That's the design director for Fallout 76.
That's not good. That's not good.
And I think that's ultimately where it's going to end up. I think it's going to be a game that a lot of people enjoy, and I don't think those people are going
to
be us.
But see, that we have to play it because we have this show.
Right.
And we have Patreon, so it's not like we're going to have to pay for it. We're going to play it. I'm not going to say that I'm going to love it the way that I've loved Fallout for all these years. You've heard me enough. Play enough of Fallout 4 that I don't really love Fallout 4.
Yeah.
And
this, by the way, looks a lot like Fallout 4 with no time slowing down in VATS. I saw VATS working in a video, and it essentially works as an auto aim. So like when you go into VATS, like it's still running at real time. Like it has like the VATS view where like highlights in green the enemy and everything else is like faded or whatever. But yeah. It's still running in real time, and it just helps you aim, essentially. Like, you can lock on with VATS. That's like, what VATS is going to do in this.
Like, and, you know, I'm going to die every 5 seconds. Yeah. Like, I played Borderlands with Duff one night for, like, 3 hours, and Duff has never come back to me. You know why? Because I suck! Like, I so want to play some more Borderlands with Duff. But the reason Duff has not ever come back to me is because I was awful.
Yeah.
Okay? And I know I was awful. And Fallout 76 is going to be a lot the same way. We're going to play it because we have the show. Otherwise, I don't think we care.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. One dude I watched play for a little bit, one of the things that he said is actually kind of cool about it, is that you don't run into people very often. Like, one of the things that Bethesda talked about a lot is they're trying to keep the number of people on a map pretty small. And so he's like, it's kind of a big deal when you run into somebody. And unlike a lot of other, like, online games where you can kill each other, because there's not just a billion people in there, you don't really want to kill each other. Like, there's something special about running into somebody else that you're like, hey, you can help me kill some mutants or whatever, you know, like it's not just like go and shoot people randomly, which is nice. I appreciate that because they're doing this online thing that one of their focuses is trying to make it where it's not just people killing each other the whole time and it just breaking down into anarchy. I like that they're aware that that's possible. They talked about how the kind of survival things, because you have to like eat and drink. But it uses the same menu system as Fallout 4, how it just isn't really set up for that. What else? It talked about really basically that a lot of the kind of legacy Fallout stuff just doesn't make sense. Like the parts of the game that are fun are the new things, and that the parts of the game that feel really clunky are the things that are kind of legacy, like VATS, that probably isn't going to be all that useful in a game that doesn't pause, you know, or the menu system that's already pretty miserable in Fallout. It wasn't good in Fallout 4 to start with.
No, that's one of the things that I hate about Fallout. Like, I hate it. Yeah. Like,
and that's always been a problem. Fallout's just never had a good menu
system. Well, I didn't have a real problem with it in Fallout 3 and in New Vegas. I hate it in Fallout 4.
Yeah.
I feel awful because I've played maybe 8 hours in Fallout 4, but I'm not in a rush to go back to it just because it doesn't feel good.
Sure.
Like, yeah. It just doesn't.
Yeah. This is going to feel worse than Fallout 4 for somebody who yearns for New Vegas and Fallout 3. I could guarantee it just seeing it play. But if you love the world looks great. Like, it looks like they executed this Appalachia, West Virginia thing really well. The enemies look cool. Like, they're crazy things I've never seen in Fallout before. And so if that's the stuff you're going for, there's a lot of that in here for you. If it's the other stuff you want out of Fallout, I think this is going to be disappointing. I think this is going to be a blip. I think it's going to be fine, and it's going to do okay, and Bethesda's going to push it for a year or two, and then we're going to see Fallout 5 in a few years, and things will go back to being Fallout-ish. You know, like, I really think this is just going to be that kind of one-off thing for Bethesda where they wanted to try something different, and they'll have a pretty good cult following of people that really get into it. But probably most of the people who play the Fallout series aren't going to really dig it.
And can I say that I applaud them for, hey, let's try this thing?
Absolutely. I agree with that, for sure.
Like, that's awesome that they wanted to try this thing. And they're already doing this with the Elder Scrolls That's what the Elder Scrolls Online is, and we aren't into that either.
Yeah.
We love the Elder Scrolls. I just don't love that.
Yeah.
And I think 76 is in that same vein.
Agreed. 100%. Like I said, not really anything big on the releases this week or so. I will mention, though, this is coming in a couple weeks, but is a big deal. Stardew Valley is coming to iOS, which is fan-freaking-tastic. I just love Stardew
Valley.
That will
own your soul right there.
Yeah, I'm curious to how it's going to play. I need to find a video or something. If it's like on-screen, like D-pad and buttons. I just don't like games that play that way, and I have a feeling that's probably what they'll have to do. But if it's like tap and walk kind of thing, I could get into it. So a lot of me picking this up on mobile depends on how it plays. But if it plays good, I would definitely consider it. It's $8, which is a good chunk for a mobile game, but it's a full game. It's all of Stardew Valley. It's not like a stripped down version for iOS. It's the full thing. So a wonderfully fun game. So yeah, there you go. Stardew Valley coming to iOS. Look for that and go by and see the rest of the show notes, gamingnsensor.com, because we didn't get to them.
Couple of things before we get out of here. There is a poll on the Facebook page that everybody needs to go and vote on. And I want to talk about that really, really quickly, because I said something in that poll because I'm me and I'm like impulsive and stuff. And the poll is actually something to the effect of, I believe that Red Dead is going to be a game changer, a world changer, and right now I'm blanking out.
I'll pull it up really quick. Okay, I'll tell you exactly what it says. Red Dead Redemption will have a Skyrim-like impact on the gaming industry.
And I said yes, of course, because I'm Jimmy Jordan, and I say things, and then I eat crow. That's what I do. And I noticed that you did not follow me on that. What I want to talk about real quick before we get off the mic, we gotta go because it's almost little girl's bedtime. But what I wanted to talk to you about was, why is it do you feel that way? Because I understand the original Red Dead didn't do that. It wasn't that same type of deal, but I kind of think that Grand Theft Auto 5 did. And if they fall in that vein, I think this has potential to be huge.
Yes. I don't disagree with that. I'm going to save most of this because this is probably what we'll spend the chunk of the roundtable talking about when we do the roundtable, because it's a fun topic. But I will say I agree with you completely, which is why I hit disagree on the poll. It's because I think it's going to be Grand Theft Auto 5 more than it's going to be Skyrim. I just, what Skyrim is to the gaming industry is fundamentally different than what Grand Theft Auto 5 is to the gaming industry. But they're both massive big deals, and I think Red Dead 2 is also going to be a massive big deal. If the question is it going to be a massive big deal? Absolutely. But I think it's going to be a massive big deal in a different way. I think it's going to be other components of it that make it a massive big deal. But I couldn't be more excited about the game. I'm so pumped about it.
Now, you know what's interesting about that? And I'm trying to figure out what happened to me as a gamer. The guys at work that I work with, I told you I work with a bunch of young guys that this is what they do. They play games. None of them are interested in Red Dead.
Really?
And, like, I'm mind blown. Like, they're just not into it. And I can't get my brain around it. I can't understand how this could not be a big deal. But there is a segment of the population. Like, we spent the biggest part of the last two shows talking about the way that we grew up with horses and the Western style stuff and all of that. These guys, even though they grew up in Perryton, are the opposite of that.
Sure.
You know, like, I don't know how you could grow up in Perryton and not be around that, but apparently they weren't really. Sure. And I think there's a big segment of the United States of people that are going to play this game that are going to take one look at it and go, yeah, it's cool, but it's not a world changer.
My prediction is as soon as it comes out and all the hype hits it, all those guys are going to go run out and pick it up. You know, like it just they haven't done a big hype train for it at this point. Like we obviously see stuff about it because we follow the industry pretty closely. But I'm starting to see stuff like on my Twitter feed that like the ads on my Twitter feed are Red Dead. But obviously they know I look at it. And so right. like they're targeting that to me. So if you're never looking at that stuff, you still may not be getting that. It's going to be a big deal when it comes out. They haven't done, I think intentionally haven't done a big push, publicity push on it yet. Because they kind of want to let it just carry itself when it comes. I think a lot of people right now who aren't talking about it will go out and buy it. I don't think it's probably going to get to Grand Theft Auto 5 90 million copies level, but it's going to sell a lot of copies. Like it's going to be a big deal. And then watch it's not, and we're eating crow. But I think
that's what we do, man. we might as well get some horseradish and mustard because that's what we do is eat crow.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm excited about it. I know you're excited about it. I'm kind of depressed that there will not be video of Assassin's Creed because you're playing it on a stream.
Yeah.
I'm depressed about that because I've gotten used to that being part of my gaming life. So
there will be of Red Dead. I guarantee that.
You're going to have to stream something else before Red Dead comes out because...
That's like a week and a half, man. That's coming.
If I am going to stand in a standing frame for an hour and a half and kill myself, I better have some freaking good games to watch. That's all I'm saying.
Fair.
But we got to get out of here. Little girl's got to go to bed. And let's face it, she can't do that without her dad.
That's right.
So... For right now, I think that's about it. You know how to get us. Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. The Gmail account is always there if you want to send to us a segment. And we know we need segments. GamingUncensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And it is so easy, it's stupid. So just call us, and then it'll hang up on you after 3 minutes. Call us back, and we'll stitch together because we are that good. For now, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and for another week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.